The sequel to The Kinsman's Tree, The Eaglet's Answer, coming up next right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to the show. You are listening to another edition of The Right Stuff with the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J. Thanks so much for joining me again. Guess what, y'all? I am so excited today because I have some good news to share about some fellow authors that you follow. The first thing is that the fifth book of the Silver Pine series that I have been raving about is out today. Christine Sterling's book, Wanted Medicine Man, is out today. So make sure you go ahead and get a copy of Wanted Medicine Man today. And make sure you join the Silver Pines reading group. That group is constantly growing, and readers are raving about how well this series is put together. I'm so glad to be a part of that series. So if you like clean, wholesome, historical Western romances, the Silver Pine series is really for you. So make sure you get a copy of the fifth book of the series called Wanted Medicine Man by Christine Sterling. And then you can read all of them together or by themselves. Just go to Silver Pines on Amazon. Go to Silver Pines. You see all the books in there. My book for the Silver Pines series is coming out next month, June 19th. And there'll be more about that for you later on in the month. The other thing I want to tell you about is this. One of my good friends, her name is Lynn Donovan, she has something really spectacular happen that I just have to share with you. One thing that I have the honor of doing is watching my fellow authors' careers grow, whether it's from being on my show, you only had one book, to now you have five books, to now you've won awards, to now some of your things are turning to movies or into TV series. It is my honor to be celebratory with you. And so one of my friends, Lynn Donovan, she went to a meeting on May 3rd, and her book, which is part of the Java Cupid series, another series I'm also part of, her book, The Java Masterpiece, is being turned into a play at the Rialto in Florence, Colorado. And that's going to go live next year, February 2019. And get this, guys, she is going to be directing that play. So how do you like those apples, as my mom used to say? How do you like those apples? So I'm really excited for that. Because I'm so excited for her, I made my book in the series, Java Blend, free. Thousands of you have already downloaded that book, so you still have a chance to get it. It's free today only. It's called Java Blend, and it's part of the Java Cupid series. So if you like contemporary romance, go ahead and get a copy of that today. And what we're going to do is take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking to my friend, my guest co-host and contributor today, Tim Hertz, and his newest book, The Eaglet's Answer, which is a sequel to The Kinsman Tree, coming up next right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on RightStream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. It's your girl, the queen of Tuesday nights, and we're going to be talking to my wonderful guest, co-host and contributor today, Tim Hertz. But I did forget to let you know that I'm going to be part of the Southern California Christian Writers Conference this year again. I was invited last year, and I'm invited again this year. I will be teaching two workshops at that conference, so make sure you register for the conference today. Simply Google in Southern California Christian Writers Conference, and you can get all the information about that. It's taking place from June 21st to the 23rd, so that's next month. So if you want to meet with your girl, the queen, make sure you join me at La Mirada in the beautiful campus of Biola University. I am so excited about that. I met some of you last year. Looking forward to meeting more of you this year. I will be taking appointments for publishers, agents, authors, and so many more. So make sure you join me at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference. What I said before the break was the fact that I am so honored to be part of so many authors' writing career. And I tell every author that's been on the show that I am not interested in casual relationships. I am interested in long-term relationships, and today is no different. When we first met Tim last year, about November, he had just written his first book, The Kinsman Tree, and it had taken a long time for that book to come about. Now, this book came about a lot sooner, and guess what? He's going to be talking about The Eglet's Answer, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So let's delve into the man behind the masterpiece. We'll be talking to Tim. So, Tim, how are you doing today?
Tim, pretty good. How about yourself?
I am doing fine. I'm just so excited and ecstatic, and I'm just like, you know what, Tim is here again, and I want our listeners to know, because we have new listeners, and they may not know who you are. And so go ahead, and in your own words, tell us who you are.
Well, I'm an author who basically strives to really just let the Holy Spirit guide the process of my writing. I'm not interested in kind of trends or trying to just market to the broadest audience. I really do want to just provide that sense of real spiritual nourishment behind the just substance behind the work that I do. Whether or not I actually achieve that, that's up to the readers to decide. Although I do have a couple gentlemen who have said themselves that they thought it was worthwhile reading. That would be Peter Younghusband and David Bergswind over at the Raddick Fest there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they gave it the Spirit-Filled Fiction Award, The Eglet's Answer. And so I was actually very pleased to hear from some guys who spend a lot of time reading a broad variety of Christian fiction to give it their highest honor, because that to me just it was a major encouragement to tell me that I was probably on the right track. You know, now long term, we'll see what the Lord does with the work, but that's kind of the gist. Is I'm not really interested in trying to be trendy or just try to appeal to the broadest audience. I think it's a marathon. As much as I might like some immediate success, because you know we all have bills to pay and such, but it's the long-term benefit and impact of the work that I'm looking for, and I'll have to rely on the Lord to see if that's going to be what happens with the work that I've done, and I'm completing now. I'm doing the third book for the series, so.
You know, what's fascinating is that you mentioned Peter Younghusband, and he is well-known stuff. And, you know, Peter has brought so many authors to this show, and I want to thank him for that. And his ministry of showcasing and highlighting Christian spec fiction is one that is not to be taken lightly. Now, he's had taken a break from that for right now. He reached out to a bunch of us and said, hey, you know, I need to take a break because, you know, he needs a break. You know, he needs a break.
Yeah.
And I said, Peter,
yeah,
take all the time you need. I mean, he works so hard to make sure that we Christian spec fiction authors are acknowledged and recognized. And so, Peter Younghusband, once again, thank you for your ministry. Take all the time you need, brother, and we hope we have you back whenever you get ready to come back and continue your ministry. It sounds like being a pastor, but not quite. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Peter Younghusband.
He was so dedicated.
Oh, yeah.
He was so dedicated in what he did. I mean, when he told me about that, I met him online when I was finishing up the first book, and he's telling me, oh, yeah, I read a book a week and review a book on the weekend. Every week I'm doing this, and I'm like, that is that's a strong pace. Let's just say that, you know. And he did that for how many years? And for how many authors and their work that he's provided that exposure, you know, for him too, I'm sure it was interesting, his journey. You know, he started with, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 books, you know, and he's starting to gain some broader audience. And then all of a sudden he's becoming the platform to some extent. And then, that was amazing to me. And that's kind of what I'm saying with my work is that, I'm going to finish my third book, and, you know, God's the one who's going to decide what happens with it long term. It's just the same mentality I think we have to have, is that we can't think short term. We don't know what God's timing is going to be like with anything that we do. So.
And that's the good part about this whole thing we call writing, is that at the end of the day, we want the Lord to be blessed. When we write for the Lord, we want the Lord to be blessed. We want our offering to Him, which is our words, as almost like an offering, like a burnt offering, if you will. You know, if I can use the analogy, like a burnt offering, we want it savory to Him. And I understand where you're coming from. And for those of you who don't know, Tim, I have to say this, I got to plug her in. Tim is the son of Vicky Castro. And Vicky Castro is a very popular author. I've seen a number of her books on here. So that's her son, for everyone listening in. That is her son, Tim, right here. And I still got to get her on a show. So tell her I'm going to get her on a show. Yeah. Tell her that I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm going to get her on a show. And, you know, I got to ask, though, Tim, you know, with a mom who is also a writer, how much of her wisdom do you take within your own writing? Like, even your stance, you know what, the Lord's going to bless this. I'm going to let Him bless it according to His will. How much of that do you take with you?
You know what? Honestly, it's hard to say. I mean, I know it's in there, but it's, you know, for somebody who is so involved in, you know, my formation, how can I then say, oh, I can kind of define that parameter? I don't know that I can. I mean, obviously it's substantial. The reality is that when I began writing, a lot of it was coming about at a time when I really felt the Lord urging me to take some steps of faith outside of what I was doing in terms of my career at the time. And so I, you know, I saw her already being moderately successful at the time, because it was several years back. And I said, well, you know, I hadn't really considered being a writer before. And then just kind of started getting this story that was piecing itself together over many months, and said, okay, I better put this to page. And then I started to write, and over time, it just kind of solidified. But, you know, I think of that passage, geez, I want to say it's at the beginning of 2 Timothy, perhaps, where it talks about, you know, and my name's Tim, too, so I guess it was obvious, which is the only way it works for me. Anyways, it says, you know, your mom and her mom had this gift of faith, and you got to fan it into flame, and so I'm like, okay, I'm seeing some of that same kind of gift of faith and fanning it into flame. So, you know, impetus, I think that's the importance of having parents and honoring your parents, is, you know, that command's there for a reason, even from the Old Testament, to say, you know, they could be the one to help, who the Lord uses to point you in the right direction for your next step. I mean, that's simple as that. And we can see that through our spiritual mothers and fathers, so to speak, too, and, you know, our actual blood mothers and fathers. I mean, it's all over the place if we're looking for it. But in this case, yeah, my mom was definitely influential. And she did, as far as technicalities of the Amazon Kindle formatting and all of that stuff, she had such, like, she had it all locked down. So I was able to turn to her and just kind of get guidance in a major way to say, oh yeah, this is how you do it, you know. So for, I know that's a major hurdle for a lot of people. For me, I was able to deal less with that hurdle and just do more with, I'm going to write. And that's a major load off of anybody. Of course, once you've done it once, you know, with my first book, it was a lot more difficult, a lot more painstaking, and definitely it was fear-inducing, let's say, white-knuckled trying to do all that stuff. The second time around, I was like, wow, I'm not old hat, but I'm definitely able to do this with certainly a lot more confidence now. And so it all, you know, it was like I had that initial help to get things propelling for me, to get things moving forward with all the technicalities, and then, of course, kind of the inspirational part from my mom in terms of just making the step of faith in the first place. And then, you know, I think that it was up to me to do the work and then for the Lord to provide the inspiration and really the empowerment and all the intricacies, as you well know, that go into when you're actually writing. There's just something that, like, you have a mode that people, I think most people fall into kind of a mode of operating under the Spirit when they're actually in that process. And if you're not in that mode, well, you could probably sense it, and maybe there's something else that's up that you have to deal with, you know, with your relationship with the Lord before you can really proceed with the work. And so, I don't know, there's a lot in there, but I mean, I think I unpacked it as well as I could. Oh geez, I used that word unpack. I'm sorry, Parker. I will not use the word unpack again. I'm pretty sure I saw a thing about that today. You know what I'm talking about, huh?
Yes, I do.
Yes. All right.
Yes, I do. I'm sorry.
I broke it down.
Oh, my God.
I broke it down. How about that? I did not unpack it.
Oh, my God.
I put water on it like a sea monkey, and it kind of grew on its own.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, Matt. I'm just having a great time with him. Because there's a lot of stuff going on nowadays with words. And some of you have been following on my Facebook. You know what some of those words are. I'm going to go into that right now. But, yes, you know, Tim, I need to ask this. Because when you were on the show last time, it's your first book being out. And so let's bring it back to, how are you different from getting that first book out to getting the second book out? And I know that some of the technicality stuff, like technical stuff, like they're not an old hat, but I got this, you know, I got this. So what other changes happened from writing that first book to writing your second?
Well, I think that the entire process was just imbued with a lot more confidence that I was on track with. I mean, first and foremost, on track with the Holy Spirit to do the work in the first place, and confidence in the process that, I mean, I'm not saying again that I've nailed my process. I don't, anybody who says that, I think is probably done growing, and that's not a good sign for anybody. But I would say that, like, I went from novice to whatever that next level is in terms of a process, because, you know, like I think I learned to just write, like just not kind of belabor the point on, oh, I've got to get the syntax, I've got to get the wording just right here and now. No, get the concept, get your imagery, just draft like crazy and don't look back right now. Just go for it, you know? And so I did that. And honestly, that really worked for me. I don't know that it works for everybody, but for me it was, I finished the book in about 4 months from start to finish. I mean, from beginning to publishing. And to me, having only done one other book and the other book having taken so long, I was like, that was amazing to me that it was able to. And I won't take credit for that. I say, hey, God must have just been in it and made that happen, because that was an amazing time period, very focused effort, and just kind of just, I'm still kind of, my mind's blown about that, and how rapidly all of that formulated for me. And the, so that's really, I think that's the main thing, is that having that confidence that First of all, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is something that would happen every time I sit down to write, you know? Like, you know when you're supposed to be doing it. Any writer, anybody who's creating, or actually, I think any line of work that you're called to, as soon as you sit down or whatever, you put your hand to the plow, so to speak, you know that's what you're supposed to be doing. And you have to know it. You have to have that assurance that you're there doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so I think that was, for me, a major part of it, is that I felt like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing in that season. It was time to put my hand in the plow, like I said, and just go. And so that was a little different than the first time, because the first time was, there was some timidity. There was, like, you know, working all of that stuff out. And this time it was just like, no, you've got what you need. Just go for it. And it was, yeah, like I said, it's kind of amazing to be able to move forward like that under the power of the Holy Spirit, because it was not me.
And we are talking today to Tim Hertz. He is the author of the book, The Eaglet's Answer, which is book 2 of the Kinsman Tree series. It's available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Make sure you go ahead and get a copy of my brother's book today. Show some love from my brother today. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, more with Tim and behind the scenes of The Eaglet's Answer. If you want to call in and weigh in, you know you can. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guest right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5 again. So very happy you're with the queen of Tuesday nights. We are talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Tim Hertz. He is the author of the book, The Eaglet's Answer, which is book 2 of the Kinsman series. And those of you who follow the show, you know that when we talked to Tim, I think it was November last year, it was his first book. Now it's his second book. And so very, very fascinating for me is that Tim made the point to say, you know, it took a long time for that first book to come out. But guess what? Once he finished that first book, the second book, Thanks Be to God, only took 4 months from conception to publishing. And that's what happens when you do what God tells you to do and pick up the pen and write. When you say that's the truth, Tim, when you just do what God tells you to do, use that gift that he gave you. You never know what happens. What do you think about that?
I think you're right. I think we're in the we should all be in the business of doing that as believers, period. Mm-hmm. Not question it. Just kind of get the nose to the grindstone. Now, is that always easy? No. I mean, I think everybody hesitates from time to time, you know, and that's understandable. But God is trying to lead us through that past and beyond that, because we're headed out onto the water, so to speak, trying to walk on it in faith. And he's got to teach us that he's still got us regardless. It's tricky every time. I think there's always something that we could excuse ourselves with, and we need to be confident and have the courage to just do it.
You know, last year we talked to an author. Her name is Shoshana Gabriel, and one of the things she shared with us was scriptures for writers, and she shared these two with me. I just have to get your thoughts on these, Tim. The first one, they both come from Colossians 3. The first one says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And that's Colossians 3:17. And then in 3:24, it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." And that's Colossians 3:24. Let me get your thoughts on this. I would almost say that these wrap around your heart as you hear both of these verses, Tim. But you tell me, what's your thoughts about that, especially as a writer?
Well, I would agree with them. I think that we have we just need to really for me anyway, I feel like we have to be ready to put all that we have into it and really just pour ourselves into the work. And I'm not saying that from like a self-centered point of view. I think that's a miracle in and of itself, and only enabled by the power of, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in it. You can't just say, "Oh, I'm going to be able to knock out this book in a number of months and commit to doing hours of work every day on the book on top of whatever else you've got going on in life and expect that that's just you." I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that it's of God to say that. So I do agree that it's our job to commit to it. And then God's job to carry us through that process at the same time. And I don't think we can ever really get through those kinds of seasons. Because I do think it was a season for me. It wasn't like he expected, "Oh, yeah, you're going to just stay in that mode for your life." No, you're going to stay in that mode while you're working on this book. And then you're going to go to do something else for a while. And then you're going to go back and you're going to write some more. Because, you know, I don't work like I can't just do a book and then jump right into another project immediately. Maybe some other people can, but, you know, at least at this point in my career, I'm not capable of doing that. So it's very draining to do the work the way I jumped into it. So.
We did get a question from Erica on Facebook. Erica, thank you so much for your question. She says, "Hey, Parker, I've enjoyed listening to Tim discuss how he approaches his writing. His focus seems more on Christ and exalting him instead of his story. As a reader, I truly admire that characteristic. For this reason, I will read his book. Tim, until you wrote your book, would you say that you couldn't feel settled until you express everything in writing as obedience to the Holy Spirit?" Erica, thank you so much for your comment and your question. Tim?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that we have that holy discontent that God puts within us. And I know it's such a weird tension sometimes, because we're called to contentment. Mm-hmm. And we're called to a certain discontent, in the sense of, you know, we've never really arrived. We never really arrived this side of eternity. We don't go, "Oh yeah, I'm a completed work in Christ right now." And I think this is all part of it. And, you know, while you're reading those scriptures from Colossians, this other verse from Ephesians 2:10 actually occurred to me. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So for me, yeah, it was one of those good works that I had to walk in, because God had prepared it beforehand for me. And I think that's not exclusive to me. I mean, if we're all believers, then we all have to think, hey, this applies to me in my life wherever I'm at too. And so that is an absolute for me. I couldn't rest, and I still can't rest from the series. I mean, I'm working on the third book. It's going to be a trilogy. And I was telling you about that sense of completion even before we got on the show of like, hey, I have to bring the whole story, the entire series to completion before I feel like I've accomplished that or believe that I've accomplished what God sent me out to do, at least through this series. And so whatever happens after that is next, and that's up to God. But as far as this series is concerned and what's next for me right now, that's on the agenda. And that's what's got to be completed before I can go to that next thing, because it's a good work, I believe, has been prepared in advance for me to walk through.
Now, I know our listeners are listening in. They definitely want to get more info about your book, The Eglet's Answer. I was laughing because before the show, I said, so, Tim, how do we say this word? Because I was going, Eglet, you know, like I have a little Eglet, you know.
Yeah,
and then I said, it was not Eglet. You know? So we want to know more about The Eglet's Answer. And I think I love the title. It's very unique. And I even tried to like type it like A-E, and it didn't work. Like, it has to go this way.
And I apologize to anybody out there confused by it. I don't know, you know, I think if you know enough creative people, you understand there's a certain eccentricity that probably comes along with that. Mm-hmm. And you either love it or you hate it. And so I apologize. But, yeah, I'm actually, you know, strangely enough, part of it I think was, I mean, divine inspiration. I mean, but the other part was like, I think watching too much Phineas and Ferb with my kids younger, and how they had that whole show about the aglet, which is the tip of a shoelace. You know where I'm going here.
I love Phineas and Ferb.
Right. And so I'm not going to lie. You know, I hope this isn't Disney going to sue you or something because I brought up Phineas and Ferb copyright material. Anyway, but at the same time, I think anybody who even takes one glance in the pages, they go, oh, yeah, okay, eglet, okay, it's a bird, like an eagle, you know, and that's like, yes, it's supposed to be like that, but not exactly like that. And so it was kind of the – also, when you get into fantasy realms, I don't think that you can ever just – I think if you go too plain spoken, you're wasting the opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to kind of throw the net a little wider and use some strange terms and just kind of play with all of that. And if you're not doing that, first of all, as the writer, I don't think I'm going to be enjoying the work. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the reader is going to enjoy it on the same level, because it's not just for me like, oh, like ministry. Yes, great. If I wanted to write a book about the subject matter of The Eglet's Answer and just do it as a nonfiction, almost, you know, you see a ton of these books in the bookstores that are either almost self-help or they're just a Christian perspective on something. I would have done that. But I think that God appealed to my sense of imagination and who I am and said, okay, I'm using you to do this for other people who might enjoy that same entertainment, escapism, learning about God through this, maybe even taking some people by surprise with what happens and how it happens, non-believers, believers at the same time. You know, I got to tell you, books were instrumental to me learning more about Jesus when I was a kid, more about how all that works together, because I would read C.S. Lewis. You know, he was a major influence for one thing. And I really just kind of sprung off that same idea of, well, let's talk about God in a very real way, but using the imagination. I've heard it described that theology can really only be understood through the imagination anyway, because we can't see with our natural eyes what is being described in so much of what God is like. So it's a way to engage the imagination, the eyes of the inner being to really hopefully project and make manifest these concepts that we have hints at and really maybe aren't fleshed out in scripture, you know, and I hope that's what people experience and are able to go, wow, that was a refreshing take on that. That was the way I haven't seen it before. Maybe I'm even more confident in walking in the Holy Spirit because I learned two things from this book. That would be to me an awesome takeaway for any reader. That's what the goal is, in my opinion.
So those who are new to the Kinsman Tree series, would they have to read the first book in order to follow the second book, or can they read them as standalone?
I wouldn't try it. I think you're going to be real confused if you try. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not me. I'm sorry. I really don't want to just say, hey, yeah, you got to buy that first book, you know, because I want the money side of it. No, I'm saying you're going to walk in and you're going to have no clue what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to drop in on the second part of the story just confused, because I literally, you know, I don't want to give away too much here, but it's a seamless transition out of the epilogue into the first chapter, the epilogue of the first book into the first chapter of the second book. So if you're going from that and you're into the first chapter of the second book, you're going to be like, what just happened? You know, it'll be very perplexing for you. And plus, you won't know any of the characters. You won't know the background. You won't know the world that you've been brought into. And to me, I really loved the first book for all the world building I was able to do. To me, I don't know if it was the way that God wanted me to do this, but I was not about like just kind of beating people over the head with the gospel right up front. I don't think you can even presume a worldview of many people, many readers these days. So I literally like build up this worldview based on scripture. And then I don't even really like do anything relating to the gospel, I think, really until the end of the book. And that's because I want people to kind of understand, well, you have to presume all these things, you know. It's almost an apologetic in that sense. Say you have to know this is the world you live in before you can even understand that there's a need for, say, a kinsman redeemer, you know, or what have you. And so you have that element. And I think that if you take that component out, you're gonna be lacking a lot of story and a lot of information about where you're gonna end up in the second book. And I love that. I kind of use the analogy when I tell people, I go, hey, I set the table in the first book. In the second book, you get to enjoy the meal. You know, that's, I can really take off with all of the characters I've written up so far and the world that's been created, so that you're getting into a full-fledged kind of a fantasy world and immersed. And then you come into the second book, and I won't lie. I mean, the first book's good, but the second book is a lot more eventful. I mean, you have stuff going on left and right, and I couldn't have done that though without the first book, without that platform to kind of rest everything else on. So
let's reintroduce some of the characters to the listeners here. Let's reintroduce them. So we talked about the Kinsman Tree last year, and so we're talking about the Eclipse Dance this year. And so let's reintroduce a couple of the characters that were in both books, without giving any spoilers away. But, you know, there are two Edoms. Etoms. And so they're Etom. And so go ahead and tell us about Etom. Tell us a little bit about this world that our listeners are going to be delving into when they pick up the Kinsman Tree, which is also available on Amazon.com, and then get the second book of the series, The Eglet's Answer.
Okay, and Parker, I know I'm horrible with my words, giving you strange words to try to pronounce. You had it right the first time. I call them Edom, and this is going to pop up when I do my audiobook too, as I'll be sure to pronounce all this stuff to say, hey, this is how it's pronounced. But yeah, the Edom are small creatures, about 3 inches tall, kind of I'd say almost like a grubworm in the sense of they have this kind of rubbery skin almost, and they're all different colors, like blue, pink, you know, purple. They can be all these different colors, and, you know, so I was able to play a lot with that too, just to be able to say, you know, these are, you know, with one particular character, he's not a good guy. He's a villainous little Edom, and he's like this blood red character, like almost I was able to paint him in that color to signal danger, like, you know, yeah, he's this figure, and he's, you know, hopefully he comes off as creepy because that's what I wanted. Anyway, but the main characters of the Edom are Nat and Nita. And Nita is Nat's mother, and the story actually opens up, and I won't be telling too much because these are on the first pages, basically, of the book. Mm-hmm. The story opens up in the prologue at Nat's birth. So here he is being born, and then basically it turns into a scenario of what I think is called out in Scripture in a lot of cases. You've got the fatherless and the widow, right? Where she doesn't have her husband around anymore. Nat's on his own, you know, as far as not having a father. And so they're really, you really see the way that the Lord provides for the two of them. And then they get introduced to this community within their village because they're ostracized from the beginning. And so they're on their own in a lot of ways. They don't even have like a community of support. But down the line a few years, they start to get into this community that has all these prophecies that take hold of this prophecy of the kinsman and how he's going to rectify all these problems. And so anyway, the fact is they get involved with this community. There's these dark forces that basically control the whole world. It's a worldwide empire. The dark forces are called the Nehukalem. They're basically a kind of a wraith figure formed out of this black, gritty, sandy dust, but they take distinct forms. So, like, you'll have like an armored figure of a man, but next to him maybe you know, a lynx who was also transformed in this way. But anyways, the thing is, they have like a hive mind in the sense of automatically, as soon as one of them sees something, that's transmitted to all of them. And so they're able to really like control all of this empire, which is called Chol, and it's over the whole world. And the Edom are kind of out of sight, out of mind in a lot of ways because they are so small, right? So they kind of fly under the radar in a lot of ways. But what starts to happen is there's pressure exerted downward because stuff starts to happen around these prophecies. And the Nehukalim are real interested because there's another layer of forces behind them, because these are manifestations, right, of real beings. But there's a spiritual force behind them. Obviously, we have kind of a Satan character behind them who's directing them to really exert this pressure down to basically try to keep the prophecies from coming to pass. And so the Nat and Nita, they set out on an adventure to find the kinsmen. That's like their goal. And so all these things start to happen to them along the way. And really, you get into the second book, and they still haven't found the kinsmen, but Nat alone has found the kinsman's tree, okay? And that's why that book is called The Kinsman's Tree. And so from there, that's the launching point into the second book, in which you really start to see beyond this kind of like a vague idea of who the kinsman was and how you might know him better. You've got new characters introduced, an Eglet, which is why it's called the Eglet's Answer. Right at the beginning of the book, you've got a new character introduced to Nat, and there's a lot that happens throughout the book. And again, I don't want to be Mr. Spoiler, you know, and give everything away, but there's a lot regarding transformation, the transformation of a life laid down and surrendered and submitted to the Holy Spirit, and also trying to really deal with, and this is probably maybe some of the hardest pills for people to swallow sometimes in our current theology in America, And I hate to pick on the American church or the North American church, but we don't really necessarily focus on a theology of suffering very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when like bad stuff happens or the Lord asks us to do things that hurt or are really uncomfortable, we kind of freak out, you know? And so I try to address it and really get into, you know, it's not going to be the same for everybody, the result, but I do try to get into that so that people can maybe grow in that understanding, even as I'm growing in that. I mean, it's not like I'm saying I've arrived in terms of understanding how all that works, but I think we all need to be aware that there is a joy that you can only have in suffering like Christ suffered. You know, you can only have that joy in walking alongside him through certain trials and experiencing as we follow in his steps of suffering, right, as he did to the cross, we can experience that same joy that he saw set before him as, you know, an eternal thing that he was like, I'm willing to go through all this, you know, and we should have the same attitude. And that's only possible through the Holy Spirit too. So anyway, that's some on where you're going with those characters. And that hopefully people are intrigued enough to see, you want to get into the first book. You want to go through into the second book with a full understanding of how they got to where they are and where they're going from here. And just the second book I feel is like the veil being torn away, you know, so to speak, to say you can make some things more explicit now so that people have a clearer understanding, but also engaging in the wonder of seeing things revealed and going, wow, you know, and hopefully that's really what I wanted to do. And at moments where I step back from what I wrote and go, wow, that I don't think that was me, and going, this had to have been from God, in my opinion anyway, that you have that moment of wonder and going, that's kind of the beauty, the majesty that we all want to see, the glory of God manifesting in a small scale, you know, off this page, hopefully. So that's, I'm sorry, I probably get long-winded, so I apologize if I took over there, but
that's
where I'm going there.
Well, that's what I want our listeners to know, you know, that when, you know, you're writing for the Holy Spirit, you're writing for the God's will, but then there's a lot of things going on with the story. And that's what makes these stories so multifaceted. When we say that we're writing for the Lord, that makes it so multifaceted. And I like how you said the theology of suffering, because as soon as you said it, I got exactly what you mean. And I started thinking about a gospel song by Shekinah Glory called Yes. And a woman basically sings, if I told you, would you do it? Would you say yes? You know, that's what she sings throughout the whole song. And it's like, if I, wherever you go, would you say yes? Will you go where I tell you to? We don't know. We say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. But would we really do it? And sometimes it involves suffering. And some of us are like, I'm a coward. I don't want to suffer. You know, because you hear some of the greats of the faith. You see her some of the greats of the faith, and they went through horrible things. You're like, I don't want to go through that. You know, if we're going to be honest with ourselves and with each other, I don't want to go with that. But at the same time, the Lord still blesses us through that. So I'm really glad that the Lord is using you through this series, The Kinsman Tree, the first book being The Kinsman Tree, and the second being The Eglet's Answer, that he's using you to bring about these various truths through the facet of fantasy. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll get to the last part of the few moments we have with Tim Hurst and his book, The Eglet's Answer. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use as discussion questions. Are you ready to get lit? please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. Or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WCC 104.5. Having such a great time with my guest co-host and contributor today, Tim Hurst. He is the author of the book, The Eglet's Answer, which is the second book of the Kinsman series. So make sure you get both of those books today, because you can't read one without the other. But you got to read the first to get into the second. Guess what? You are going to enjoy it. It has been endorsed by David Berglund and Peter Younghusband and received the Spirit-Filled Award Radix from Radix. Definitely get a copy of these books today. One thing Tim said throughout the entire conversation we had is that, you know, he's writing for the Lord, and he's going to let the Lord take this series where he wants to take it. If you are a writer listening to the sound of our voices today, make sure that if you're writing for the Lord, that you have to trust in him, that he's going to take your writing to where he wants it to be. And so, Tim, I wanted to make sure that we got our final thoughts here before, you know, we get to the end of our show. It always goes so quickly, and I have such a great time. I can't believe an hour goes so fast, you know. But go ahead, just give us some of your final thoughts about what you want readers to get from both of these books and what you hope will be imparted to them.
Well, I think that I would hope the takeaway from all the books together is that, first of all, that God definitely has plans for each and every one of us, and that in this series you see different individuals walking through those plans to a place of change, to places of adventure where courage is required. Like you're saying, hey, yeah, we might not want to go, but you need that courage, and you can really only trust God for that courage and go for it. And to really hopefully see that real change in our lives is possible. And it might not be comfortable, but it will so very much be worth it. I think that's ultimately the biggest thing I could say, is that, yeah, we're going to go through some stuff, all of us in our lives. And, we're not always going to enjoy that process. We may not even have the best attitudes to that process. But in the end, once we've gone through it, we will learn something, and it will be worth it ultimately. And we just need to be willing to trust God through it. And when we do that, when we really are like just trusting God to carry us through things that we're just, frankly, I hate to say it about myself, but I know it's true. It's just too weak, too fallible, too broken, whatever, to actually get through all that stuff on my own, that he's the one who carries us through these things and makes us able to come out the other side, not still broken, you know, rejoicing, thanking him, grateful for this love that doesn't ever abandon us or leave us where we were. And I think that's an important thing. And he'll never leave you where you were either, in that mess where you first met him. And that's, I think, a big part of my overall overarching message throughout the whole series, is that that's his character. And I hope that his character is what comes through ultimately through the books.
You know, Tim, I want people to have an opportunity to connect with you online. So go ahead and give us the social media outlets.
Well, you can go on Facebook and you can look me up directly. I have a lot of Facebook friends, and I have my author page. So you're welcome to go to Timothy Michael Hurst, but you can also just look me up, Tim Hurst. And if I have a slot open for a new friend, I'll add you. Also, you can find us on Facebook. The Kinsman's Tree is as a series listed there. And then our publisher, we have our own publishing house called Vixen and Grove. So that's V-I-X-E-N and G-R-O-V-E, Vixen and Grove. And that's also not only the Vixen and Grove is on Facebook, but it's also on Twitter. And then finally, we have the website. For me directly is www.timothymichaelhurst.com, and you can find me there and have updates on anything basically regarding upcoming releases and to contact us.
Tim, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. It has been such a pleasure to have you back. I'm so thankful that I am just part of your coattails that's riding. I'm riding on your coattails, basically, you know, because you're growing in your career, you're growing in your faith, and I'm just excited you're part of it and to give this platform for you to let our listeners know, hey, the Lord is using me to grow, and he can do the same thing for you. And so thank you so much for encouraging our listeners and inspiring authors out there to go ahead and write stuff. Thank you so much for being with us, Tim.
Thank you, Parker. I appreciate the opportunity. It's actually, you know, you say you're on my coattails, but frankly, it's folks like you and Peter Younghusband and David Bergsland who are just helping us so much to propel and promote all kinds of Christian writers to engage our culture in a way that it desperately needs. And so I reciprocate the gratitude. And I hope that after I get this third book finished, I'll be talking to you again.
Oh, you will, definitely. I cannot wait to have you back real soon. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
And we were talking today to Tim Hurst. He is the author of the book, The Eglet's Answer, which is available on Amazon.com. It is book two of the Kinsman Tree series, so make sure you go ahead and get a copy of the first book called The Kinsman Tree, and then get The Eglet's Answer. And then stay tuned because the third book will be coming out shortly. And guess what? He'll be back on to tell us about that book as well. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.